snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
Now, I'm trying to understand, like, I'm on ClearMatix, I'm on the website. I wanted for the listeners to get a sense of what ClearMatix is doing. So talk about that. I mean, peer-to-peer networks and decentralized markets, is that the main mission of ClearMatix, Colonel?
More or less, yeah. We'll have some updates to that in a couple months. But if we go back to 2015, you and I don't see this, the nitty-gritty. It's all in the background. But what ClearMatix set out to do in 2015 was, how can we work with industry participants that already have access to the central bank, and specifically the reserves, and effectively allow that reserve to be tokenized and used between those participants? So as a company, we've been trying to build out infrastructure for financial institutions to reuse some of the bits and bobs that the Ethereum world kept going. I'll pause there and see if I answered some of your questions.
I mean, so let's just talk about that utility. I'm trying to understand how blockchain like solves any of these problems. I mean, let's just start with, for the audience, I guess from where you work, your industry, your perspective, what is a blockchain?
Without getting super technical, a blockchain is literally just a chain of information that's been cryptographically signed and distributed to parties that are outside of their own walls, as it were. And the short answer is they can't do anything unless they have cash on ledger, as the term is. So it's taken a long time. So as much as you and I and your listeners would want to know, why are banks wanting to use blockchains? Well, they build out products all the time. If they're already building out shared systems, why not build out a shared system which not a single party operates? So there is some narrative that actually resonates. That's consistent over the last 6-7 years. It's just taken a lot longer because in order to really fulfill the full life cycle of the instruments, you need something that could settle cash on ledger. You need something that set a settlement asset. And the only settlement asset out there that everyone agrees on that has the lowest credit risk would be something like a central bank digital currency.
Tim, I'm just kind of a little bit confused here. Like, I mean, so when you look at like Bitcoin blockchain, Ethereum blockchain, the only advantage that is obvious is that a regulator cannot just show up and shut those things down. I don't see how like central banks and regulated entities would need a database that's resilient against themselves. It just seems antithetical to what governments are building and working on. So I mean, I'm just trying to get a sense of exactly where that use case is and why a government would want to participate in this.
Really good question. So let me see if I can answer them one by one. So first of all, proof of work, as you point out, rightly point out, as used in Bitcoin and as Ethereum 1.0 as it is right now, is purposely inefficient, expensive without having to burn mountains of coal in China. To answer your first question, yes, you're right. There is no purpose of having proof of work. We've known that. I've written about that extensively since 2015. So I'm definitely in that camp of agreement with you. Why would financial institutions be working on this in the first place? Well, number one, they're not idiots. Maybe someone is an idiot, but they're not collectively idiots on trying to find ways to collaborate. But you can provide some of the similar utility, some of the settlement conditions, at least from a technical standpoint, using a shared network. So the idea of having a shared ledger predates, industry-wide shared ledger predates even Bitcoin itself, pre-2008.
So, I mean, again, I'm just confused about what you're going to like large institutions and you're telling them to build a private blockchain based on the Ethereum protocol. Does that mean it's like Solidity? Like, is that what you're using?
So yeah, you brought up about three different things. So if I could try to answer some of those things. So coordination between these parties. And that really defeated the whole purpose of having a blockchain for all the reasons you rightly disclose. You end up with a very expensive database. That's not quite true, but you do, if everyone just relies on databases, we end up with massive single points of failure, single points of trust and abuse in terms of surveillance. So
I'm agreeing with you. Like, you can have different use cases. What I'm asking is give me another use case, because when I look at the crypto space right now, all I see are gamblers, speculators, unregulated exchanges, unregulated securities, things that the government in almost every country would say illegal, Ponzi schemes, fraud, scams, transfer of drugs. Where is the legitimacy outside of that? Like, where else is it? Because again, like, if when my listeners are people that are thinking to themselves, should I invest? Should I do more research? Should I get involved in the blockchain space, in the crypto space? What is there? What substance is there? Other than that speculative, like, aspect, where is the actual, you know, utility there, the solution?
Again, the problems that Clearmatix has been trying to solve, and again, we'll have some updates hopefully in a couple of months. We're not trying to solve problems for cypherpunks. We're not trying to solve problems for the DeFi world. It's trying to solve. We have use cases that can't exist, or no one wants to have a single participant use on a single, you know, database. Is there a way that we could provide some new products in an infrastructure that we share, that we have the ability to see, but not necessarily directly influence? The problem, though, comes down to the business case. But that's not the purpose of or the goal of what Clearmatix is trying to do.
And that's fair, Tim. Like, that's totally fair. Well, I guess, like, so from my perspective, you know, my listener is hearing a lot of hype, hearing the word blockchain, crypto, all the numbers are going up, a lot of investment, a lot of speculation, a lot of excitement, right? And I'm trying to discuss, like, legit, like really, like, peel away the layers and try to figure out, is there something there? Is there some excitement? Now, what you're describing to me, it doesn't look like this merits almost any excitement.
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question.
It's not. No, that's like, you don't see me jazzing anything like that. You have the wrong person if you think you're looking for a cheerleader. I'm not the cheerleader. I don't go out and.
Oh, and that's fair. No, 100%. So if what you want to say, for example, is that the use case outside of the cypherpunk narrative, which is, you know, quite questionable, you and I agree with that, right? To me, that would just say, like, you know, there's almost nothing here.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
So again, the business model for R3 was very different from any of these other guys initially. When I left, a week after I left, a lawsuit between R3 and Ripple surfaced. When the SEC sued Ripple in December, one of the footnotes discloses the fact that a blockchain organization in New York exercised some options for like a billion XRP. The key part of the engagement was, as part of this, you know, project management, R3 had the right to buy up to 2 years to that afterwards some really cheap XRP. And according to the SEC's lawsuit with Ripple, separate from the R3 Ripple lawsuit, it looks like R3 was able to get about a billion XRP. So I'm saying all this to answer part of your questions about the revenue. You know, they sold that throughout last year, apparently, or 2019, 2020.
Sorry. R3 sold a bunch of XRP?
Yes.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.